Howdy, folks. So this is Diana Prince, Secret Agent, episode number 7. I'm one of your hosts, Ed.
I'm the other, Terry.
And we are looking at Wonder Woman's mod era with DC Comics, focusing on issue number 184 of the first volume of her eponymously named book from 1969, cover dated September-October 1969, but on sale July 1st. 1969. If you guys want to get in touch with us, there's a variety of ways you can do it. Pick one that suits you the best. Oh, and I will tell you what they are. Teal Productions is on Twitter, Blue Sky, and Facebook, all spelled the same way like the color. Additionally, on Twitter, if you want to talk to her, my co-host is Tooth Gnasher on Twitter. IamIndieMan@gmail.com is the email address, and if things are sounding oddly, one of our cats just jumped up and placed his big butt on my show notes, so I really don't know what I'm going to say from here on out. And he may get between me and the microphone. So let's see. What else? Is it? Okay, there he's moving a little bit. He's going to go sit on. Don't let him sit on the book, please. Comicbooknoise.com/TNC. That is Tango November Charlie. The letters is the website. You can leave comments there. And I do need to give a tip of the hat, a nod of the head, as you will, to Universal Production Music for the intro, outro, hip songs for the podcast that I found. Now, on the cover, we're looking at several warriors that are carrying what we have found out is Diana herself on her shield from the battlefield, which usually signifies the warrior is dead. So we'll have to see if she dies in this, because if she dies, there won't be an issue 185 of Wonder Woman.
And this podcast is over.
Yeah, quickly. Now, somehow I don't think that's the case, but we'll have to read to make sure. Nothing really about the warriors. They're all dressed differently. I don't really recognize any of them, except this dude here looks a lot like Ares.
Yes.
In the face. I don't think he's supposed to be Ares. Oh, he is Ares?
Yes. Did you not read the story?
What story? Yeah, I didn't. I don't remember that it was Ares and his crew that carried her. Oh, okay. So there we go. That's why he looks like Ares.
Yes.
And the book continues to tell us that the incredible I Ching and new Wonder Woman. I Ching is not his name.
That's okay.
His name was Ching.
We'll just get over it.
And this cover is from Mr. Mike Sikowski and Dick Giordano with letters by Gaspar Saladino. The interior art is from, script and pencils are from Mike Sikowski. The inks by Dick Giordano, colorist unknown, and letters by John Costanza.
And this is the first issue that I remember seeing them actually put that in the book.
The creatives?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Reprints can be found, let's see, Diana Prince Wonder Woman issue number 1 from 2008. I'll have to look that up to see what that is. I don't recognize that title. And Wonder Woman Diana Prince Celebrating the 60s Omnibus from 2018. And that is what I am reading from. However, my co-host, in that she collects Wonder Woman, has collected all of the Wonder Woman up to about issue 160-ish or so of the first volume. She has everything from there to now. So when we go to conventions and whatnot, unfortunately, the only ones we have to look for are Silver and Gold Age Wonder Woman, which we all know are going to be like we get to bring home like maybe one a convention, maybe two if we get some good deals. But they are very pricey.
Yes, they are.
But we have been fortunate. We've been able to back all the way up to issue 160, which takes Wonder Woman to like the mid-60s. So we have everything from there to present. So that's cool. Okay, let me synopsize here. This is courtesy of the DC Fandom Wiki, .com wiki. Diana hits on the idea of going to another dimension where King Arthur and heroes of legend still exist and asking them for help in repelling Mars troops, Ares. Drusilla, the Amazon's messenger, takes her to that realm in which Arthur is holding a tournament of heroes. But none of them wish to go to war again, even after Diana tells them Mars, Ares, is on the march again. Now, also, conveniently, when Diana goes to Arthur's realm, which would be Camelot, all of the other heroes from the other realms happen to be there for a tournament. So she only has to make one stop to talk to all of them. So that's pretty convenient. A fight begins between Diana and Siegfried, but the Valkyrie Brunhilde, wait, wasn't she just dead? It's a completely different universe. Stops it and tells Diana she and her Valkyries, who were also dead in the other universe, would be proud to aid the Amazons. Thus, Diana returns with the Nordic warrior women, and they begin their final engagement with Mars Ares' forces. Before long, they are joined by Roland and the other heroes from Arthur's realm, and Ares' army is defeated. Hippolyta awakens from her sleep, and Ares brings an unconscious Diana back to her, honoring his opponent, but telling her that he will eventually return. Roland, Brunhilde, and all the other heroes and Valkyrie depart. Paradise Island is rebuilt, and Ching opts to stay there a while and study its ancient mysteries. Drusilla takes Diana back to her apartment on Earth, where she finds a frightened young girl who claims, "I thought you were them!" And that's where the story ends. So, another pretty good synopsis. Mm-hmm. Several of the earlier ones were a little bit shorter on detail, I thought. But this one
pretty much makes it to where we don't even have to go through the book.
This one has, for something maybe that stands out or something about the art. This little inset. This panel is very dark and brooding. Mm-hmm. But when you see it, it's like normally colored and everything like that. So in light of
because
this text
piece. Because it's morning and it's the sun is coming up. So well, but as it goes along, it gets brighter and brighter because the sun is coming up more and more.
Okay. All right. So here in the first page, basically, Ching says something and gives Diana the idea of other heroes. Mm-hmm. So she'll go look for them. She goes and tells the other Amazons that's what she wants to do. Drusilla whisks her away with the magic of Hippolyta, which I'm surprised Diana didn't just ask to see the artifact or whatever.
It's an amulet, she says, which allows them to travel to other dimensions.
Why didn't
maybe
she just,
without her Amazon powers, she can't wield it.
Yes, maybe so. You're right. Because
it has to be an Amazon.
She is just human.
And right
human.
Now she's just human.
Although, in this hero's realm, she's a pretty badass human to be just human.
Well, she's been a fighter all her life. She's learned the martial arts on top of what she learned as an Amazon fighter. So even though she's just human strength, she has a lot of fighting knowledge.
I would think that strength, though, would be her undoing. Because even a woman in prime shape, she can't possibly have the type of musculature that a Roland or a King Arthur or some of these other guys have.
Which is why she gets carried in on her shield.
So, so she interrupts the tournament here, walking through it. And at first, you see that the heroes are very about it. They're not interested in being heroes. They didn't like, in retrospect, the life of being a hero. And so now they don't want no more of this hero. They just want to live and do their thing, mm-hmm. you know. I wonder, though, in this tournament, do they die? Mm-hmm. Do they even get hurt or anything? Mm-hmm. So very pat art, I thought. Mm-hmm. There's nothing really. It's good. It's serviceable. The art, inking, coloring isn't necessarily the best I've seen. Now, I will say, I enjoy it in the book much more than I enjoy it in this omnibus. These super saturated colors
are all cartoonish.
They kill me. They take every bit of mood and emotion out of it. Mm-hmm. And they make it like clown paint, like a circus. You're reading, you know, I can almost hear da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. When I look at these colors, and it just, I don't like these collection redo the colors from yesteryear books because they botch it. They mess it up. And I apologize to all of you younger folks that this is all that you have to look at. You've never looked at the original. When you get these omnibus of things, books from the 60s and 70s, go back and grab some of these issues and look at the originals, and you will see that they look so much better than these collected editions, super saturated colors. I don't like it. I got this book because basically in planning to do this show, it told me all the books that I would need to talk about. That's why I got this.
And plus, we needed two copies of the book so that we could each have a book to look at. And I wasn't giving up my original.
Yeah, and so the actual books get handled a little bit less, so we don't have to worry quite as much about eating them up in doing this.
Yeah, it's laid on the table, and I'm very gingerly turning them.
Yeah, she is. She has white gloves on.
No, I don't have white gloves on.
She has her manservant turning the pages for her.
I have no manservant.
Standing over here over her shoulder.
I have no manservant.
He's a big former wrestler in Japan who's known for death matches.
Yeah, right. And
she's borrowed him from Tony Storm.
Yeah, right.
That's the manservant.
No, not Luther.
So she
gets into an argument with
Siegfried.
Siegfried, because she knocks his meat out of his hand. That right there will start an argument with any man.
Yes.
Don't knock his meat out of his hand.
Don't.
And he's like, what are you? Who? Who are you?
Well,
and she's like,
what does he call her?
An insolent minx.
Yes, there you go.
You need to be taught manners.
Yikes.
So he puts his hand on her, and that's where it starts. And she flips him over her shoulder, and they begin fighting. She pulls her sword, and he pulls his. And because she has learned martial arts, she's quick enough to deflay most of his blows until the very end when he cuts her sword in half, breaks it, and knocks her down on the ground. And by then, this is when Brunhilde comes in and says, no, I'm not going to have this. Just back off, and we'll go help her.
Right. Yeah. She must have been close enough to have heard her
story,
beseeching for help.
Her spiel, and says, come on, this clumsy oaf, gets off your coat. Let's go. Let's fight this fight because, you know, we are the warriors. They are a bunch of men.
I haven't mentioned this before, but this pairing of whoever did the colors and Mike Sikowski, and maybe with Dick Giordano's help, the two or the three of them, they use shading quite a bit. Everything isn't forefront as far as the artwork. Either in group scenes, that way you know exactly where you should focus your attention visually, or in some panels, the entire panel is shaded. This one here, this one where they're approaching in the other dimension. I'm not quite sure what the reasoning would be. But there is no forefront. Everything is background.
I think he's trying to say that there's nothing more important than the other thing.
Well, but there's not a whole lot of text.
This is mysterious.
Well, yeah,
this is not one thing more important than the other thing.
Okay.
Everybody's fighting to save their lives.
It's a big battle. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I could see that. Because now in the midst of this big battle, the next panel, you see some highlighted coloring here with some of the characters. Diana, I presume, being one of the ones here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that I can understand.
She's finally arriving. This is the battle that's happening while she's arriving.
As they come
Valkyrie.
In, that's right. The Amazon's trying to hold off Ares' forces.
So you have full color when you see Valkyries finally get there.
But, like, I think the next two pages, there's not any forefront colored. Everything is shadowed or background. Both of the pages.
This is very sad because they've
it's after the battle.
After the battle, they're all tired and there's dead. And then this is strategy. I mean, it's just
bemoaning her mother.
It's the mood.
And I guess that's the intent is to create this sense of moodiness.
I mean, we're sad
overall.
Because people are fighting and dying and we're having to strategize and mom and it's like, what am I going to do?
But it's because I am seeing it more often with this. Artistic combo, it has moved to the forefront of my mind how they use shadows to pull or deflect your attention. And I like that. As far as storytelling, I like that technique. I think it works.
And now the next page, they're in full color because there's something important is about to happen.
Yes.
So they want you to see that they're talking about something important about to happen, which is the dude.
The men.
Roland,
the men
horn ringing
arriving.
And all the men are arriving to fight the fight.
But the next page, full
and that's because
page,
it's death.
It's all background.
Yeah.
It's all shaded.
It's all shadow because it's death.
Yeah, so. And then I like this. You see the pincer movement of Diana's forces, of Roland's forces, and Ares' men caught in between.
Mm-hmm.
So they illustrated that really well. Another route, although this is the permanent route. This is the final defeat of Ares' men with the help of Roland. And we see this is the scene where They carry Diana in, and yeah, here he is back here. Okay, mm-hmm. See, that's what it's not necessarily a forefront character when they're carrying him in. Here, when they're this, which this is, well, I just turned to the cover of the book. This is the art piece from the cover of the book, more or less. Mm-hmm. So here you can't. This dude here doesn't really look like Ares here. So it didn't dawn on me as I was reading that it was Ares. Now you get up here and here he is. And it's like, well, maybe he came with them or was off to the side or whatever. It didn't dawn on me that he was. And I this artwork, the way it's drawn, still doesn't necessarily make that clear that he was one of the ones carrying the shield that she was on. But I don't disagree with you that that was supposed to be him mm-hmm. on the cover.
It was.
Participating in the carrying of the...
And I think this is him back here in this picture with the helm on that he's got on here.
Oh, not in the front, but in the in the back, which is where he is here mm-hmm. when you
with
see
the helm
him. Okay.
On.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So, Ares was there the whole time.
Because Hippolyta is his daughter.
And this is his
granddaughter.
Yeah.
And she just fought very valiantly. And as the god of war, he has to respect that.
Sure. Absolutely. That's what he's all about.
And he's like, let me bring her back. Let her get healed. And you all get back together and I'll be back.
Right. You
and
won
we'll
this
fight
one.
Again.
You won this round. I'll give it to you. But I'll be back. Like Arnold, I'll be back.
Mm-hmm. Actually, he says, I shall be back.
That was a very bad Arnold, by
it
the
was.
Way. I can do better when I'm not like, you
yeah,
know,
right.
When wow.
So Diana wakes up and says, oh, mother, you're awake. And she's like, oh, Diana, you're awake. It's like everybody's woke up now.
And so, yeah, here, I don't know. I'm kind of surprised. I guess they didn't want to write Ching anymore. I wonder how long that will last.
Yeah,
that
I don't know.
That he stays
behind.
Here. Yeah, he's kind of been her whole support system mm-hmm. Since her.
Well, she doesn't have anybody else that
switch
really
over.
Knows her.
Dude is dead.
Yeah.
Trevor. Trevor's dead.
Uh-huh. She doesn't have anybody
No, and
else.
That was it, Ching.
Yeah.
So unless they bring somebody from when she was Wonder Woman to be a help or confidant, she's completely by herself
yep.
now. So she's got her apartment over her bodega and no sensei anymore. So it'll be interesting to see where all that goes. All right, now hold on. This is Billy's favorite part. So let me look here, Billy, and we will start talking about some ads. So first up is?
For the inside cover.
Ooh, yes.
Inside cover is Sales Leadership Club, where you can be a sales leader who picks the prizes, fabulous, or chooses caches, $100 box for selling the personalized Christmas cards. Anyway, you're selling stuff and you're getting prizes.
Yes.
That's what you're doing.
And it's of course, this ad where it shows
it
all the prizes and how much you have to sell.
Always brings to mind to me the Mayberry Opie Taylor
Opie.
Story where he's trying to sell the salve and nobody wants to buy it.
Right. And Barney tries to help and he does even worse than Opie did.
So the next ad is a one-third of a page. It is the Souped Up Coupe from Revell from July 1969, Model of the Month, a 51 Henry J. Drag Coupe. And you can buy this authentic 1/25th scale model from Revell. Send 35 cents for a new color catalog to find out how much it costs.
That doesn't look like a very realistic car. I don't remember ever seeing a car shaped like that.
And then our next full page, the very next page is a full page from Aurora, the Revell
competitor. Yeah, competing model company.
Far out new hobby kits from Aurora, the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yes, I remember that.
The spaceship from the Land of the Giants, and the moon bus from the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey. So you send off and for their catalog, and you can see how much all of those cost, because they ain't telling you in the ad.
So Chitty Chitty Bang Bang mm-hmm. used to be on when I was growing up every Easter.
Mm-hmm.
They would show it. I never watched Land of the Giants. I know it was on. Maybe it was on before I was old enough really to watch. I know of it, but I don't believe I've ever seen an episode. A Space Odyssey 2000, that's the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Moon bus? I don't remember there being a moon bus.
I think I've only seen the movie once, and it was so long ago, I wouldn't remember a moon
bus. I remember
bus
the
anyway.
Big space station, of course, with
mm-hmm.
Hal,
mm-hmm.
But I don't remember a moon bus. So anybody else out there remember a moon bus from 2001, A Space Odyssey? Chime in, because I don't remember it. But yeah, Aurora. Okay, what's next?
Then our next full page ad is a Johnson Smith Company, and it's where you can buy all these little weird and wonderful things.
All the trick things.
All the little trick things. The jet engine burns gasoline gun.
X-ray glasses.
And X-ray glasses.
Seahorses.
And superpower magnets. You know, all these wonderful things that kids just can't live without.
And this
can't
is
live without at that age.
Johnson Smith and Company, Department 407, Detroit, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't even have like a street address that you would send it to look up to see what's there anymore. Mm-hmm. So
then our next half page is a Superboy ad. Superboy, the day it rains, Superboys, on sale July 3rd.
And this is September, but it doesn't give the date. So this would have been out about the same time that this issue of Wonder Woman was, mm-hmm. on sale July. So it would have been the same month or so that for 15 cents that this Wonder Woman issue was out.
And then we have right after that a full page of Top Hit Records, the Young America Records Club, 75 cents and up. Single LPs, tape cartridges, 5 records set free with membership, oldies, and goodies.
No doubt. Who we got here? Jefferson Airplane, The Association. I like The Association. Dionne Warwick, The Lovin' Spoonful, and many more, of course. Engelbert Humperdinck. So you could get, what are these, 30, or no, 45s it says here. Okay, 45, 30 songs. Cool.
So next we have the letters to the editor for Wonder Woman, where people write in and say whether or not they like or dislike Wonder Woman.
Did you read them? Anything stand out to you?
I skimmed over them.
Nothing.
Most people like, I don't like, but you know, most people are liking. Anyway.
Looking at names, and I don't recognize the names of any of the people that wrote in. Of course, these may be famous people that we all know, but they wrote under some letter hack name, so we wouldn't know it was them.
The next is a half-page live Sea Monkey ad.
Sea Monkeys.
I remember the Sea Monkeys. Only a dollar.
Did you ever have Sea Monkeys?
No, but
no.
For a dollar, you can have Sea Monkeys.
I never had any either.
Free, receive with each order a magnificent fully illustrated instant life handbook of instructions, tricks, training, and amazing life history of sea monkeys, plus a full year's supply of special sea monkey growth food.
Do you know what sea monkeys are?
No.
Fairy shrimp.
Okay.
If you ever see fairy shrimp somewhere, mm-hmm. that's what was passed off as sea monkeys, because they have almost a quasi-human-looking look to them.
Okay.
So.
And then the other half of that page is the Palisades Amusement Park
again
ad, once again, telling you you can get coupons out of your comic books. You can cut them up.
Yeah, so this is the actual coupon for one admission.
Yes.
And free parking.
Mm-hmm.
But admission and free parking is only worth a dollar and a dime, so it's $1.10. Mm-hmm. It's not a big savings.
Then we have a full-page, 164-piece Astro Force Space Soldiers of the Future, together with fighting accessories, only $1.98 post-paid. $1.98, 164 pieces.
That's not bad. And I imagine what these are is these are the hard plastic figures, mm-hmm. like the soldiers. Mm-hmm. I've seen soldiers. I remember Cowboys and Indians. I don't remember really seeing any that were space vehicles and stuff like that. I used to eat up the little soldier ones.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many of those I bought over the years. Even as an adult, in a fit of nostalgia retro, I bought a bag of them just to have a bag of those soldiers, which
I haven't come across.
Yeah, I don't think I still have. Something must have happened to them. But.
And then the next full page is A New Giant is Born, on sale July 22nd. It's Sugar and Spike.
Issue number 85.
And who is Lois Lane? She's a glamorous reporter. She's Superman's girlfriend. In this giant issue, she's also all this other stuff. It's The Strange Lives of Lois Lane.
Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane, issue 95 that DC put out as
a giant
size. Yeah.
Giant.
And they have this is a Widow in Black. I was going to say a Black Widow, but no, it's... Okay.
And then our next ad is a third page ad for Matchbox Models of the Month. We have number 50, the Ford Kennel Truck. Suggested retail price of 55 cents. And you know they're not much more now. You can get them for 99 cents. Matchbox cars.
No,
Hot Wheels cars you can get for 99 cents.
Same thing. Hot Wheels bought Matchbox.
Yes, you can buy them for 99 cents.
For 99 cents?
In Walmart, yes.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize they were that cheap.
Number 18, Field Cars. Suggested retail price, 65 cents.
So
a little more.
Basically, these aren't the die-cast cars, right? Are these models, like the plastic models that you put together, or these Matchbox models? I don't know what they are. These could be the little die-cast cars.
Yeah, they could be. That's what I'm talking about, the little die-cast cars.
Yeah. I thought maybe because it says models, they're like Revell and Aurora, you know, the big whatever, 10-inch models, plastic models.
And then we have, and it could be that these are the plastic models, and these are like $6 at Walmart. You can't buy a model with that.
But that,
for like $6 and $7.
I think that's still pretty cheap.
Yeah, it is. It's because nobody wants them. And then we have a full page.
There you go, all you model collectors out there.
Gold crown. You receive a complete game. You have two forts, cannonball, all full scale battle games processed in 48 hours and shipped, and handsome simulated book form, $1.50 plus postage, exploding bridges actually blow apart right off the river. I mean, it looks like a good time.
So you have two different sets. One is the medieval set, the Knights, and one is the
Fort.
Blue and the Gray Civil War set. Both of them are probably have similar things, just a little bit different era. As far as what it is, but yeah, it's now you get either one or the other,
mm-hmm.
right?
For
yeah,
$1.98.
Yeah, they're just advertised both here, mm-hmm. and they call it a game. Yeah, I don't know how much
play.
Of. Yeah, but I mean like a game with rules and dice and all that stuff.
You just
but
play.
With this medieval castle, I bet you get something that flings.
Probably so. It says you get back, exploding bridges.
Back before you put anybody's eye out and they quit making them, you could get little flingy things that would fling rocks like trebuchet and
the
all
catapult
those.
Actually hurls ammunition to breach the catapult, the castle walls.
There you go. Okay.
They have boulders for your catapults.
Yep.
Goathead rams actually used to force the castle gates open.
Those are maybe
double door castle gates that actually open and close.
Maybe those are like rubber band powered.
That's
you
what
pull
I'm
them
saying.
Back, and they say,
"That's what I'm saying." It looks like fun.
Back in the days,
I'm telling
when
you.
Kids were able to play with things, and you didn't worry about them swallowing or putting an eye out or whatever danger hazard or what that you get nothing cool now.
Mm-mm.
At all.
It's all safe.
It's all rounded edges and big enough to where you can't put it in your mouth. And it, there's, yeah. Whatever.
Next full page, famous name prizes or cash from Olympic free sample cards. It's Olympic Sales Club. Once again, you're selling stuff and you're getting prizes.
Right.
And then the next page is a full page of how you can build a rugged body and command respect and admiration and fear no man.
Like Aries.
Like Aries.
You'd be like Aries.
Mail me free all 11 world famous strength test courses, including photo book of famous strongmen once weaklings. I enclose 25 cents for mailing and handling. 25 cents.
Yep.
Telling you.
And what you can get, you'll get 16 to 18 and a half inch big arms. You'll get 45 to 52 inch heroic chests just by using this system.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then the very last page is the Hot Wheels Supercharger race set.
That's the back of the back cover.
My brothers had a Hot Wheels racetrack, small, half the size of one of these.
I did too. I've had them.
It was the cheapest one that they could find at Hills. And this is the double, two supercharged units, two lap counters, two Hot Wheel cars, four Speedway design hot curves, 24 feet of genuine Hot Wheels track right here. On the back page. Cool.
That is cool stuff. Yeah, Hot Wheels used to be, those are die-cast cars, used mm-hmm. to be Hot Wheels and Matchbox were competing companies. Mm-hmm. And then here within my memory, Hot Wheels bought Matchbox and now they use them as like an imprint or whatever you would call that. So you can see cars that are still Matchbox and some that are still Hot Wheels, but unfortunately now Hot Wheels owns them all. So.
Okay. And that's it for the commercials.
Okay, so the next issue that we will be looking at is issue 185 of Wonder Woman.
Where we'll find out the frightened woman that's in her shop, what's going on there.
And who them is. Yeah, so. All right, guys. So we will talk to you next month about that. Thanks for hanging in there. Catch you later.
Bye.